pretty little Wilma Sue said she had escaped from slavers down south and passed a construction site somewhere near the old limestone caves. The workers were talking about attacking Front Royal. They tried to capture her, rape her more likely, but she chilled one and escaped.
Falling right into our hands. Lucky us.
So they're either Bull Run Coldhearts preparing to attack Baron Cawdor's castle, or Outlanders planning on raiding the Ville for goods, or maybe hit a passing convoy, if she spoke the truth.
Of course she did, my lord. My friend told me the truth as far as she knows it.
The woman on the table started singing a wordless song, nodding her head in time to a secret tune nobody else alive would ever hear.
However, the question remains, are we next to be attacked?
William searched for a chair fit to sit in. There were no clean ones, so he leaned against the door jamb and crossed his arms.
Grandfather, have you sent spies?
Yes. None have returned.
Send more.
I will. Led by you. And failure isn't a word we accept.
Henderson leveled a finger. Standing stiffly at attention, William clicked his heels and smartly saluted.
I will not fail, my lord.
Which brings up another matter.
The Baron glanced from the doctor back to his grandson.
Randolph has failed me. Twice.
William arched a puzzled eyebrow until understanding came. Drawing his 9mm Luger, William shot the doctor between the legs. The man shrieked and fell to the floor, trying to staunch the awful flow of blood from the wound with both hands.
Again. Shoot him in the belly. No, a knee. Yes, yes. Cripple him.
Raising the barrel, William fired once more, and a black hole appeared in Randall's forehead. Exhaling softly, the man crumpled into a heap, the blood seeping from under his pink-stained clothes.
Too soon!
The Baron raked his own cheeks with broken fingernails, leaving bloody furrows.
He died too fast, boy!
William holstered the weapon.
You said he failed us twice, so he was shot twice.
You disobeyed me! Never do that again!
Or
else you will go on the table!
A minute passed in silence, with the two men staring hatefully at each other. The tension in the room was palpable, and the sec men moved between them to forestall any possible actions. A civil war was the last thing the Ville needed, especially with a possible army of enemies only 30 miles away. A corporal stepped forward.
Please, my lords, a question?
Ask!
What should we do with Randolph and the woman?
Lost in the moment, Henderson blinked a few times while shifting mental gears.
Do dispose of Randolph immediately. Save his shoes, burn the clothes, and toss the rest to the dogs.
At once, sir.
As for the spy, slit her throat and boil her down for soap. Soap, yes, soap.
Better yet, Grandfather, why don't we let the other prisoners in the dungeon have her?
William rested a hand on the old man's shoulder. He could feel the aged bones beneath the expensive cloth. Death was close by, and with it, absolute power. But the white hair was still a dangerous foe.
Most haven't seen a woman in months, and will gladly use her for relief.
Excellent! Let it be done!
Baron Henderson smiled, weakly applauding the notion. The corporal saluted.
Yes, sir!
And on the morrow, William, you will lead troops northward to wreck the deep woods. We must know if there is a new baron at Front Royal, and what his plans are.
And if I encounter Cawdor's troops?
Kill them.
That could lead to war.
William was careful, trying not to incur the terrible wrath of his patriarch.
Front Royal is strong. It would be a difficult fight.
Henderson took a little pinch of snuff.
But not with us. William, dress our sick men in the colors of Bull Runville. If Front Royal seeks retribution, they'll attack that blood-bitch up north, not us.
Sir, afterward, we can seize first one Ville, then the other, before they can recover.
William warmed to the idea greatly.
Supporting troops over so great a distance, even with horses and wags, will strain their exhausted supplies to the breaking point. In fact, Starting a war between Front Royal and Bull Run might be the best thing to ever happen to Casanovaville.
Dusk was starting to fall by the time the campsite was secure. The four trucks were parked in a circle a safe distance from the farmhouse, and a large fire was crackling, with the passengers and companions gathered around. Doc and Jack were on patrol, and they walked through the growing darkness, looking for spoor or tracks, and finding nothing but cicadas and a rusted plow attached to the skeleton of a horse.
Where can he see?
Absolutely.
Not right. Tell Ryan.
We will, once Stephen goes to sleep.
Check boxes?
Indeed I did, my friend. They were full of wire. Insulated wiring and light switches, outlets and fuse boxes from pre-dark homes and offices.
Nothing more?
Every box I checked.
Damn.
I concur.
Doc frowned. He kicked a clot of dirt out of his way, and it rolled off into the weeds. The cicadas instantly became quiet.
Somebody is very certain that Front Royal has electricity. Or will soon.
Doc breathed in the night air, thinking back to his life in Vermont. Then he shook off the memories. That was another world, no longer his.
I know the fortress itself has power, perhaps wind-generated, but it's used only for emergencies, lighting the fields when there's a fight and such. But Stephen has enough cable here to wire the whole ville and most of the surrounding hamlets, house by house.
Where get power?
Indeed, my young friend. That is the big question.
In a world of slave labor, where batteries are often considered magical, where do they plan to get enough electricity to power an entire ville? As they returned to the campsite, Dean nimbly darted between the men and dodged a parked wag to drop a load of wood on top of a stack near the campfire. The timbers were broken at the ends, severely heat-discolored, and most had nails sticking out.
Need any more? I have most of the wall down for easy pickings.
Dean dusted his dirty hands on his pant legs. Christy stirred the campfire with a green stick.
No thanks. Better go wash. Dinner will be ready soon.
Dean displayed his slightly improved hands.
Aw, they're clean enough.
Wash.
And the boy walked off, as if heading for certain doom.
How is it coming, madam?
Soon enough.
She turned the roasting possum on the iron spit. A little song from her childhood came unbidden to mind. The faster meat turns, the slower it cooks. The slower meat turns, the sooner you eat. True words. Dried beans from the caravan supplies were simmering in a pan of water, with pale lumps of salt pork mixed in. Mildred had added some dandelion greens from the weeds. Studying the pan, Jack reached into his jacket and poured in a shot of moonshine.
Flavoring.
Where did you get that?
Gift.
He smiled and tucked the bottle away.
From friends.
Friends, plural?
Yeah.
Hiding a smile, Christy returned to cooking.
I understand.
Skinned and gutted, the possum suspended above the flames was so large it was bending the old iron rod she had shoved down the gullet as a cook rod. The animal was so big, Christy thought it had to be a mutie. But the others assured her that 20 pounds was normal size for a possum. The smell was almost painfully good. Hands dripping water, Dean returned from the well and sat near his father.
Dad, what's Front Royal like?
He took a harmonica from his shirt pocket and polished it on his damp sleeve. He had looted it from one of the dead Mercies, and after a good wash, it seemed to work just fine. Leaning against a truck tire, Ryan stretched out his legs.
Good fields. Soil not that dead from the acid rains. Lots of deer and bear for food. Lots of cougar, too. Strange thing. For some reason, they like the taste of muties and help keep the area clear.
Mighty polite of the cats.
J.B. smiled, amused.
I used to have a house cat.
There was a distant look in Doc's eyes.
High Wacket, an old English name. A brindle tabby. I must remember to feed her tonight before sending the children to bed.
The other said nothing as the man closed his eyes and started talking softly to himself. Sometimes Doc drifted off to another time in his life, reliving conversations with the dead. Some folks thought the man touched in the head, but the companions knew that only a strong will could have survived everything he had gone through at the hands